Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's not for you.
Sky. Stop saying that. All right, because I read all the people say, when are the old farts going to start hating on Rihanna?
If it's for people that
I get
sub 40.
It's not for me because I'm too old. You ageist.
Now, Mike. The ball is going to hit the steel. And then it will bounce down, and they will catch the ball and run it back for a touchdown, and you will win.
I said, "Not how it works."
It's
with
not
a field
Looney Tunes,
attempt.
Dad. Not Looney Tunes.
Daffy is not going to take the ball.
That was selfish, though, when she said there's going to be a special guest for the halftime show.
What's selfish?
And she said, because she's pregnant.
It's her baby.
It is her baby. What's, you know what? So,
what did she take from you? What made it selfish for? Like what?
She took 13 minutes from me.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome to the party, and please join us along with our friends in great places like Valentine, Nebraska.
Get it?
Drake it, Massachusetts. Never in my life, and I grew up in the state one state over. Huh. Drake it, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Saltville, Virginia. Fetzer, Texas, Pratt, Kansas, and Gdansk, Poland. Anybody sending you those cities anymore, or
yes,
you make them
absolutely.
Up every week?
No, no. I'd say we're
You don't make them up. You just find them everywhere.
Yeah. You still get them all the time.
Drake, it's right
next
to the wall.
Let's turn that music down a little bit, please. A lot of people like to speculate when we aren't here, and there were people that I saw were talking about the idea of, they had a good Super Bowl. No, that's not what the deal was. We took a day yesterday, and we've been sitting on some very, very, very bad news for the better part of the month that at the family's request, we were not sharing with you on the Mike O'Mara Show. And unfortunately, the news that we thought at some point might take a turn for the better ended up not doing so. We lost somebody. I always say that we on this show are part of a family, and that family has members that are close to us and some members that aren't, and some people we know and some people we don't know well and some people we don't know at all. But there's an individual who was close to all of us, especially Rob Spiewak, who was in the recent years, last couple of years, just started adding to the show like no other individual has added to it. And it's just an extraordinarily sad time for all of us on the show when we share that our good friend Mark Riddell, otherwise known as Twitch, he has passed away, unfortunately. He suffered cardiac arrest a while back. Has been in the hospital in the ICU. They were trying their very best to keep him going. And we thought even as early as last week that that things might take a turn. He suffered a major, major cardiac arrest and was hospitalized and then went in and had tremendous damage to his heart. And we really thought that even though it was going to be a heck of a journey to get back, we thought that there was a chance. And unfortunately, he took a turn for the worst. And at 55 years old, way, way, way too young, our friend, our wonderful contributor, my keyboard player for my band, a guy that was an individual who was just always a giver. He was somebody that just was a pleaser. Mark Riddell passed away at 55. Great father to his daughters, who we reach out to now, Sammy and Rachel. And he was a great friend of the show. This thing he did that came out of left field for me, with the promos and the writing of them and the editing of them and just delivering them with the only desire being to make us laugh and to bring us joy was became such a wonderful part of the show with Jim Amato. And it just was spectacular for us. Mark Riddell, who really, as far as anybody that's been to my house, was responsible for bringing the most famous person to my house ever. And that was Duff Goldman. And Mark was also where I gave him the name Twitch. He was my band's keyboard player. And, you know, so much contact. We're going to get Rob in here to talk about. Rob was besties with him. And he was a circus guy for a long time. Between the lines, I used to read that they didn't treat him real well there, the Feld Entertainment Corporation.
I don't think they treat anybody well.
I don't think they treat anybody well.
You got a top hat out of it.
Yeah, I got a top hat out of it. They went back and forth with him, but he loved working around the circus, was all in on the circus.
Yeah.
And he was a pleaser. And, you know,
just to be
right
clear,
now,
Feld Entertainment, like he didn't work Feld, in the big top.
Feld Entertainment,
yes, yes.
Who puts the circus
yes,
on. Yes. Ringling Brothers, yes, Barnum and Bailey, a lot of the monster truck shows, that type of entertainment. Stadium Entertainment.
Icecapades.
Icecapades, and gave us, Carl and I think Mike, I'm not sure if Michael was with us or not, a great tour of the behind-the-scenes warehouses up in Sarasota, Florida, where all of that exists when he was living down here. And when he was living down here, we got a chance to, you know, go out to lunch with his daughters. And then the gig of gigs that he was excited about, he had worked for King's Dominion, but Rob and Mark had this bond where Mark came back to Virginia and started working again at King's Dominion. And that's where these two idiots decided that they would just bond. And bond they did. And it just was just stunning news when Rob called all of us and had mentioned that that I was it 2-3 weeks ago?
It was 3 weeks ago that he was,
he
was in for observation. He was having trouble. It all started. He was at work. He was having trouble breathing. And he drove himself to Mary Washington Hospital. He said he barely made it. It was too much effort to even drive. And he was in for observation for like 3 days. And I texted with him every day. And he was just annoyed that he was there. He said he didn't feel quite right, but he didn't feel like he needed to be hospitalized. But they were just keeping an eye on him. And then that was, I think he went in on a Tuesday. And then that Friday night is when he had his heart attack, his cardiac arrest. And had he not been in the hospital for observation, he would have died that very night.
Yeah.
And
major damage to his heart.
Yeah.
You know, they did everything. They airlifted him to Fairfax, Virginia, which is one of our finest hospitals in the Washington, D.C. area. And that's where he went into ICU, was intubated, was on a breathing machine for a very, very long time. They took it out at one point, did they not?
He was detubed for a few days. I got to speak to him. He was talking last week, so I got a chance to actually speak with him a little bit. For a few days, he was alert enough that he was writing notes. And I've, you know, his handwriting sucks anyway, and when he's on Dilaudid, it was like a game of charades. But we were able to communicate, which was nice. It was very, very nice.
And then the turn that came over the weekend.
So sudden.
And when did we speak? Saturday morning, I think, or was it Friday?
No,
or?
It was such a weird timeline, because Thursday night going into Friday, he had one of his most advanced days yet. They were ramping him down off machines, yeah. And so Saturday I went in, and it was staying steady. And I talked to the daughters. I talked to Sammy. I talked to Rachel. I said, I'm not going to come in on Sunday. You know, I'll see you guys on Monday. Tell them I love them, and I'll be in on Monday. And they called me on Sunday afternoon, and it was just a confluence of so many things. They had discovered that he had one of the main valves on his heart had stopped working. It was stuck open. And so what they were going to have to do is either repair it or fix it with clips, but that was going to be an advancement. But he started in overnight on Saturday into Sunday with a massive internal bleed. and they couldn't spot where the bleed was. It was several places, and they couldn't locate it without doing a CAT scan, but he couldn't be stabilized enough in ICU to get him to the CAT scan machine. So he's caught in ICU, and they can't take him off blood thinners because then they can't do the dialysis to keep his blood pure in the machine.
He was a very sick man at the end.
And it, really what it boils down to, and when they said this to me, I understood. They said his heart was at such a small percentage of operation when all this began, his other organs began to shut down because it wasn't providing the blood and the oxygen to his liver, to his lungs, to his kidneys that they needed to go. So his body went into multiple organ failure, and they slowly were getting him out of that, and they had every machine on him, and it was just, there was just too much damage, and they couldn't stabilize. Even the thought of a heart transplant was bandied about, but you can't do that if you're not stable. And they just couldn't get his body stable.
And so we kind of just didn't feel like coming in here and trying to, you know, do a show with the news that we got. And a lot of people haven't gotten that news. We'll be breaking the news to a lot of people. And Mark had a lot of friends around the country and a lot of people that cared about him. And, you know, was so into the show and into that family we talk about that, you know, where people gather together and, you know, get on the conference calls. And so it was just, you know, and especially for Rob, who, you know, also same weekend, you know, continuing, you know, we thought 2022 was your crappy year. The hits keep on coming.
Mike, it's still a calendar year. I'm giving myself till March.
That's good, because then after March, maybe things can turn around. You lost your aunt, your godmother, who you were, your mother's sister, who you were extremely close to. You know that you saw that one coming, that she was sick for a long time.
Exactly.
But just yesterday was not to come in, and we plan to do a show for you after we get done talking about Mark. But it just was something where, you know, I have people that I have worked with much closer, that I've worked with closer. I don't mean closer. I mean that I've worked more closely with over the years. I have people that I've been associated with for much longer. I've been reflecting on Mark, and Mark was just always around for so many years in my life. You know, when I went back, and Jim Amato has put together a video that we'll at some point we will share with you, where there were some old pictures, video of our band. And I'd had a lot of issues with keyboard players.
Fun to watch him play, wasn't it?
Oh, he was. That's where he got the name Twitch, because he twitched around on the piano.
Pretty
so
much self-taught. And self-taught. Piano
I knew a
player.
Lot. I knew a lot about him. I mean, I knew a lot about his, you know, his religious life that he had. That he was very, very religious, and he was just a guy that went through similar experiences in love that I had gone through. So we related to that together. And then what I talk about is the most recent thing, because suddenly out of nowhere, he starts putting these promos together, and he's gifted. He could have been back in the day a promo guy.
Yep. Absolutely.
He could have been a production director at any station in the country with the talent level he has. And Jim Amato, I'm not leaving you out, because I know you two were a 1-2 punch on this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was just so much fun, and so many, you know, I never get to hear him. I don't curate them. Rob does. And so I would hear them the first time when they were on the show. And that, you know, for me to come in here and be entertained with something I don't know is coming was just, you know, so much fun. And I am happy about is that I certainly hope that I gave Mark and Jim the credit they deserved on the air about that, because they were, you know, just a wonderful 1-2 punch. But Rob said something to me over the weekend about Mark Riddell. That Mark was, and Carl and I were talking about this over the weekend, and last night, not over the weekend. And he was a pleaser.
Yep.
He was a pleaser. When I look back on my relationship with him, all these things he did around the show, in and around the show, were always kind of designed to bring joy to the listeners and bring joy to us on the show. You know, the great surprise when I was super into the Food Network was bringing Duff Goldman into my house as a surprise guest. And he was just big enough a celebrity where he crossed that threshold. And it was so much fun. And Mark was, I remember Mark being so thrilled at my reaction because it was a home run. And he did that. I remember when we were talking about live shows. Do you guys remember we talked about live shows? Mm-hmm. And Mark was floating the idea of getting these circus performers to be part of our live show. It never came to fruition, but he was doing that.
It was always something grand. If I may just take a moment here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mark and I have been working together in some capacity since the inception of the show. And I should note that, you know, he worked with Graceland for some time. Yep. And he just had this prolific career, which you'll see in this beautiful video that Jim Amato put together, that sometimes we forget, a very talented, but more than anything, someone that, you know, we, Mike, in the world of radio, Rob, in the world of radio, we meet so many people. We're lucky to meet so many people.
Right.
There are only a handful that, like, essentially, become friends of ours. And then contribute at a level that they make their mark, not because not everybody can, but just not everybody puts the time and effort to make their mark. Yeah. And I don't mean, no pun intended, but for me, and what really got me was, like, he was one of the good ones.
Yeah.
He was a good dude, a loving guy.
Loving,
like,
man.
Knew how to take a joke, knew how to give a joke, was witty.
Got the caring, show. I mean, a lot of people get the show, but he got the show.
Right. And then
fruitcakes, the fruitcake kitchens. He was in the fruitcake.
But even when he was the fruitcake kitchen.
Even when he was on the West Coast, just creative, the way that he would make his own TikToks before TikTok was a thing, and he was comfortable in his own skin. It's a goddamn shame, man. It's just sad.
I was talking to his daughter very briefly, Sammy, yesterday, because I, you know, I was not the part of Mark's life that Rob was towards the end of his life. But I had to reach out because I know how he felt about Sammy and Rachel, his daughters. And we have that experience where I have two beautiful daughters that I love very much. And it just was... you know, I ask everybody to just keep those two in your hearts. If you know who they are, if you followed Mark, Sammy and Rachel, you know, the twin daughters are just, you know, they were such a big part of his life, Rob. I mean, that was his, the loves of his life.
It needs to, I think, start there. There's so many great things you can say about him. But for him, the sun rose and set on those girls. And as many times as we ended up at a record store or at Jimmy's or some stupid adventure that he and I would go off on, we invariably would end up talking about our kids because that's something that we did share. We had kids roughly the same age. And I've known those girls for what seems like forever, but never really got to know them until these past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is that wherever Mark is right now, he's looking down and he's smiling because he did such an amazing job with them.
Sweethearts.
Such sweethearts, but classy and smart and just so attentive to their dad. They spent every day he was in ICU. They were there from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. They're both in their senior year of college. They're taking virtual classes in the hospital, but still there for the dad and sending me updates constantly and making the medical decisions constantly. Mm-hmm. Think of where you were at 22.
Oh, God.
Could you handle medical decisions for anyone in your family?
No.
I'd be like having Robert handle my medical decisions. I'd be doomed. but they are, it's mind blowing what kids he's raised. And I think if nothing else speaks to what a great man he is, that does, because they are such a reflection of him
And Oscar mentions he could take a joke and give a joke, and he could take a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I called him Twitch. I mean,
he embraced it.
He loved it. He knew that it was the spirit in which it was given. He worked on the show as a sales guy it seemed like half an hour. Where he did, it wasn't a fit.
During the pandemic, I tried to hire him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and he was smart enough to say,
I'm holding out for a management position. I said, all right.
Well, another thing that Mike and I talked
remember
about.
Remember how disappointed we really were about that?
We're in the middle of a global pandemic.
Remember how bummed we were
because
we really wanted him to come and work for us.
But Mike, we talked yesterday, and I didn't know this until I started hanging out with his family over the past few weeks. Mark was adopted. So I don't know where it is in his blood, but he had circus in his blood. And that's not just the fact of elephants and clowns. That's the way that he was a pleaser. He wasn't happy until other people were happy. He liked to take something small and make it big. He'd like to take something big and make it gargantuan. He could plan, and it's probably killing him that he can't plan his own funeral because he knows he could do it better. And he would do an outstanding job. And it was so weird. I should have known him for years. If not for weird zoning in Vienna, Virginia, we would have gone to the same high school at the same time. And we have common friends. God knows we have common interests. And every time...
Did you meet him when he was in the band?
Yes.
Is that when you met him?
That's the first time I ever met him. And we became fast friends.
The crap blues band.
Yes.
I still look back on that. I said, wow. Oh, where was my brain in those adult days?
You're in a dark place.
Yeah. I was.
Yeah, it was the crap blues band and you being mad that the McDonald's had a broken ice cream machine. These were the two priorities of the time.
I remember it's not just music. The t-shirts were great, though. It's not just music, it's crap.
That's right. Yeah. But I became such fast friends with him, and he was the kind of guy that the more he and I hung out, the more commonalities we found. And I was raised an only child. And I was blessed enough to get a brother in the second part of my life. Oh. And he had stories for days that he wouldn't even spotlight. Like one time
he came in contact with a lot of very famous people.
I mean, he's so thoughtful. He got me so many great little gifts through the years that would be meaningless to many people, but to me, they are worth their weight in diamonds. He got me water from Elvis's water fountain. He got me a bolt from the original construction of the Grizzly roller coaster.
That's when your friendship with Mark took off, when he got the gig at Grizzly.
Well, I didn't realize he was that much of an Elvis fan, and he called me. And I'm a saver, you know this. And
hoarder.
No, saver. And I'm not as much anymore. And I went through my phone. I don't have a single voicemail from him saved because... Oh. Every time he called, and be honest, sometimes you just let it go to voicemail, right? I would always pick up with Mark. Oh, no, you don't answer.
No, I don't answer, but I call you right back.
But
that is your MO.
But yes. Mark always had something valid, always something sensational. I remember one time he called me, it was early. I said, what's up? He says, they gave me the keys to the front door. I said, of what? He said, of the mansion. I had to go open up Graceland today. It was locked up like a house. He said I had to go
in. Did he get to go in there all by himself?
He played Elvis's piano. He was the only person in the mansion. He said...
I didn't know that story.
He ran a lot of stuff for Wolf Trap, which is a great performing venue here in Washington, D.C. He was there for years. And he said... I said, you met everybody. He says, oh, yeah, I met everybody. One time I took Johnny Mathis grocery shopping. I said, what? He said, yeah.
That's a great story.
He wasn't happy with the food in the green room, so I took him to Giant. I said, what? He didn't just send you? He said, no, I'll go. And so he did that. He also got to give Weird Al a personal tour of King's Dominion, break every line and put Weird Al on every ride at King's Dominion. And that was his second when he...
Was Weird Al into amusement
yes,
park?
Yes. And so the whole thing, it was so wild. This was actually when he passed. It was his second dance at King's Dominion. He had been there before. And he was so into it right now. And this is so tragic. Carrie and I were talking about this. They're getting ready to do their 50th anniversary of the park. And he was so excited. And I hate that he doesn't get to be a part of it. But when he got hired back at King's Dominion, he went down there with me one day. It was last fall. And we just walked the entire park. Every sidewalk we walked. He just wanted to get the feel for the park again. And I took a step back and just watched him for a second. He was so happy and so proud.
He liked being back there. That was that was his favorite gig, right?
All I can imagine, it was kind of like being watching Walt Disney walk Disney. Because Mark would... He'd pick up trash if he saw a gum wrapper. Yeah. He'd pick it up, throw it away. He loved that place. He loved the organization. For a guy who caught a couple bad breaks through the years, he was in such a good place.
Yep.
And it kills me.
Had an up and down ride in the chosen field that he had. He was in the right field, though. That's what he
100%,
had to do. 100%. I mean, really, that's his calling.
It's so tragic that it was taken away from him this way, because he was in such a good place. And he was just, I've heard it said by more than one person, you two are the same. You're cut from the same cloth. Carrie last night said, you know, a lot of times when Mark would come over and you guys would hang out, I'd leave, go somewhere else. And I said, yeah. She said, it wasn't that I didn't like Mark. I loved Mark. He said, I couldn't stand being in a room with two of you. And she said, I've been with you for 26 years. I can't do this. I can't have two Robs in the house. I'd let you be. But it was just weird where we got to almost a shorthand of talking with each other. There was nothing so obscure that I could bring up or he to me that we wouldn't know. It's just like we should have known each other longer. And I'm just so lucky, professional stuff removed from it, just to have him as a friend in my life, because I can't look around my house and not think about all the great stuff he was a part of and how well he treated my kids. And you don't meet people like that very often.
No, he's a special guy.
Very special guy.
And a special guy for you. And this on the heels of, if Rob's getting emotional, it's certainly understandable, because Rob also lost his aunt, who he was his mother's sister, who he was super close to over the weekend. And just, the hits keep coming, and it's just, it's when someone's 55 and someone's chugging along, you just don't think in that terms. And I think it hits you hard. You never know. This is like a celebrity passing away when you don't know why it hits you as hard as it does.
Yeah.
I know in Rob's case, they were best buds. Yeah. They ended up becoming, they were new friends, relatively.
Pretty much.
And really, really new buddies. I've known Mark longer than Rob has. And Rob and Mark and I had a professional relationship in the band and a professional relationship around the show right up to the end. And I'm down here in Florida. Rob knew him in a very brief amount of time, got to know him a hell of a lot better than I did. And they were kindred spirits, which was a real winner. You never know why something's going to hit you the way it does. But when somebody goes, you reflect on their lives. And I have to say, to him, and I'm so glad I did it on the show. And I thanked him so often, because it was just so appreciated what he did for me at the end. It really, really was. And it was just, the last time I saw him is when they came into the studio with that wonderful plaque that Jim and Mark presented to us on December 7th. And, you reflect on somebody, but then I pivoted on that right away and just started thinking about the experience that you have when you love your kids that much and you've got the daughters there that he had. So he's just such a a loving father.
Yeah, we should celebrate his life. We should celebrate because I will be in mourning for some time now, but we should celebrate the impact he made on people's lives.
So much.
You know, and what he's like, how many smiles he brought to everyone. Not just just people that knew him loved him.
Yeah. And he was a networker. You know? He kept in touch with high school people, college people.
People that loved him.
He was genuinely, genuinely loved. And getting to know Sammy and Rachel as well as I did the past few weeks. There is so much of their old man in them. And that's
including the musical ability. Sammy is the section leader of the University of Texas Longhorn Marching Band. And that's special. And they're both very, very wonderful kids. And
that's the one thing that I take comfort in is that there's a lot of Mark in them. And talking to them, and even through all this tragedy that we've been stuck in for 3 or 4 weeks, they were lighthearted at times. They just, the way Mark would be, you know, this sucks. What are we going to do? We're going to do everything we can, and we got to stay positive.
So we've known about this for a while, and, you know, we share this with you. And what I think one of us or all of us at some point have said to each other, this is a chance to, you know, hug your kids today, reflect on how precious life is, because you never know when it's going to go away. You know, let your friends know you love them. Reach out to people maybe you haven't reached out for. I think that, you know, I agree with
I had a couple
that.
Of those, yeah, with the phone calls. It's so tragic.
I have to say, a lot of people...
I sent you a text, Mike. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure you saw that. Apologize.
A lot of people will, you know, Oscar's making me laugh.
Is that appropriate? You can read it out loud. It's fine.
Should we mention that he was hung like a horse? I didn't know whether that was necessary, yeah. but thank you, Oscar.
We got to celebrate.
Yes, he'd be laughing his ass off if you heard that right now. I gotta say this: you hear the people diss the thoughts and prayers, especially when we have a shooting in Michigan, and people say, "Oh, thoughts and prayers."
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's an overused, trite, thrown out there. What's not, and what I really do believe, you know, think about your own family. In tribute to Mark today, and reach out to him and hug him a little bit closer, because that's how you kind of just validate somebody who's been a loving person and a loving father. You can reach out. I hugged my child, and I reached out to my daughter. Sorry, Catherine. She's become an Eagles fan. So I didn't reach out with a tremendous amount of love on the weekend.
Well,
but
she had
just
a horrible
enough,
weekend too, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
But with Michael in my arms, you know, it's just that's what there's nothing you can really do in a situation like this. You can't.
No,
you can't say anything. You know, I did say to Sammy, and I've said to people over the years that my own experiences with loss, specifically my father's death years and years and years ago, a million years ago, that. You know, the spirit of the individual that has gone before you lives in your heart forever. And I believe that while you're alive, they're with you all the time. And they're with you as much as you want them to be with you. And that's it. These are true. The I've been there. I've lived it. I know it's true. So when I say it to somebody, I know it to be true. They live right here and right here. And nobody can take that away. And that's the power of memory. That's the power of memory. When I lost it when the Red Sox in 2004 won the World Series, I remember the documentary that said, the Red Sox are a team of memory. And sports franchises that share joy with loved ones, that's kind of how that works. It's the same with all people that go, no matter what the circumstances. The loved ones that we lose are with us in our hearts and our minds with memories. And you can't discount those. And the other thing that was said when you go through a loss like this is that it will never be the same, but it will get better with time for the close family members that are open wounds right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one caught us all by surprise. You take for granted that people are going to be with you, especially people that are almost 10 years younger than you are. You expect they're always going to be around. And then, you know, you expect other people that are going to go and they end up pulling through, which is great. And so you have that good, you have that bad. But what a friend of the show he was. What a friend to all of us he was. And what a father. Mm-hmm. What a dad. And for those two young girls, he will be with you forever. ever and ever and ever. And you're lucky to have a dad for 55 years like Mark. Mark Riddell passed away, 55 years old. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get on with it with the homepage. And we've got another show to do. So the show must go on. RIP Mark Riddell. We loved you, buddy. We'll be right back.
It may be cold outside,
but the specials are on fire.
There he is.
At Trader Mike's Discount Shack.
Trader Mike is moving only a few feet to a new location.
It's the Sistine Chapel on a floor
that you can eat.
And he's willing to do what it takes to make a deal.
Check out these deals.
I have acquired, over my lifetime, way too many golf clubs.
Here. A lot of them are broken.
I do have a shop vac. I have a squeegee, and I have a light bulb changer.
Trader Mike is stacking the specials high and letting them fly.
He's stacking them deep and selling them cheap.
But that's not all. You can find more great deals through Target and Walmart when you click on the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Treat yourself.
Hurry, folks, because these deals are crazy.
Trust me.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. A message from Sleep Number. Sleep is essential to your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So what if you could know what's happening in your body while you're sleeping and how your nights are impacting your days? Well, guess what? With the Sleep Number Smart Bed, you can. See your biometrics and how well you're sleeping with Sleep IQ technology and get daily tips to help you improve your sleep and energy. Plus, did you know that 8 out of 10 couples prefer a different mattress firmness? That doesn't surprise me at all. The Sleep Number Smart Bed lets you adjust the firmness on each side and change it whenever you'd like I just did. Partner snoring? Sleep Number has a solution for that too, with a FlexFit Smart Adjustable Base. You can gently raise your partner's head at the touch of a button to help alleviate snoring. That's absolutely true. Now, my Sleep Number setting is now a 45. I've reduced it because I happen to be feeling better with my back if I have a softer mattress. And Carla remains at a 65 because she's made out of granite and never has any maladies whatsoever.
Take it for granted.
Yeah. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? So you can be at your best for yourself and those you care about most. And now, discover special offers for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And we thank you, Sleep Number Beds. We all love them.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage. We start with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. Trouble in Paradise.
Mike, if you're cool, you call him MGK.
MGK, they haven't officially pulled the plug on their wedding plans, but a source tells People that the couple had a fight over the weekend. Now, I have read different things that say perhaps his lead guitarist in his band, they might have gotten a little jiggy with it, but we don't know for sure. She's very upset and won't speak to her actor, musician, fiance. Well, actor, what's he been in? I thought he was just a musician. That's all.
I'm sure he's done a lot of stuff. I remember him in Schindler's List.
Okay, they haven't officially called off the engagement, but Megan took her ring off.
Oh!
The insider adds they have had issues in the past, but things seem pretty serious this time.
Was the ring on her finger?
You know, I can tell when we're going through something that my judgment is a little clouded. I have no idea why I live with this story.
I took a deeper dive into what's going on here.
Oh, of course, because you love pop culture.
Yes, and who doesn't want Megan Fox to be single?
Brian this Austin is true. Green. Although she's starting to, I think she's taking a very, very deep dive down the Madonna rabbit hole.
Oh dear, that's too soon, Mike, that's a bad hole. That's my opinion.
Hey, he looks different.
Yeah, because they can't all look doesn't like they're she, in their 25,
no,
Mike.
But doesn't
everybody
she
ages.
Have that kind of Botox-y kind of look to her face?
A little bit. I don't think it's crazy. Madonna just doesn't even look like Madonna anymore.
They asked her, and she said, I'm taking my ring off.
Hello.
I think what is true craftsmanship or tradecraft for many, like, scorned lover, is that at one point she deleted all her Instagram followers and followed only three people, Eminem, Harry Styles, and a third person I can't remember. But those three people are Machine Gun Kelly's arch nemesis. Like he
Can
hates
I ask
them.
You a question about really skinny guys?
Yes.
Since you felt it necessary to mention Mark's endowment at the end of our
tribute. No one else saw him, dude?
I didn't know how
well,
you.
I know
would have
that's
either.
Well. That's why he wanted to hire him.
Yeah.
Let me say this: what is it with these skinny guys, like Pete Davidson and Machine Gun Kelly? Are they all, you know, these women?
I don't know. You should probably ask Pony.
We're just blessed. You know, that's the one thing we get.
All right. I just threw up in my mouth. Thank you.
Yuck.
Bloom room.
Okay, this surprised me. Forbes list of the highest paid entertainers of 2022. Never would have seen this one coming. Genesis topped the list on the strength of their farewell tour, the Last Domino tour. While Taylor Swift is the only female entertainer in the top 10, she had a massive year even without hitting the road. Forbes estimates that Genesis earned $230 million last year, both from the farewell tour and individual income streams like royalties from Phil Collins' solo song In the Air Tonight. Sting came in second. Sting still rocking and rolling. $210 million. Oh, he sold his catalog to Universal.
And his wife group, also Universal made Media. Him put some stuff on eBay.
Tyler Perry yes. Is the list's sole billionaire. He took third on the back of his sprawling entertainment empire. And next up, South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone. $160 million, animators.
Why?
How about that?
Are they still, people year still watching to an, the show?
$900 million deal with Paramount.
I don't know anyone who still watches that show.
Anyway, and they also had a continued success of the blockbuster musical, The Book of Mormon, which is
That's true. I forgot about that.
I didn't know that. Well, let's go to the other side of things, all right?
Please.
Not the overwhelming success. How about somebody who's famous that's getting treated like crapola?
Good.
Post Malone. I like Post Malone.
Yes.
I wouldn't hire Post Malone to be a waiter at my restaurant, but Post Malone is an interesting looking guy, and he's a cool guy, and he's a funny guy. Well, he found out the hard way that facial tattoos don't always open doors. During a visit to Australia to the West Coast on the weekend, he was reportedly denied access to QT Perth's rooftop bar. I don't know what QT is. QT Perth's rooftop. His ample ink apparently didn't meet the venue's dress code. Here's what the quote is. "They turned me away from my tattoos," he said. "I've never really experienced anything like that. The venue's dress code prohibits face, neck, and offensive tattoos. The first two of which Postie has in abundance. The five-star QT Hotel has since apologized." I love these apologies.
Tattoos.
Yes.
We're past banning people at doors with tattoos, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember when a neck tattoo was a horrible thing. Now it's, you know, look at them.
Like, are we still just looking for the three tiers, my people?
That means they killed somebody, right?
That's
it
the
does.
Word.
Yeah. My book. And QT.
Mike's
what is
book.
QT? Does anybody know what QT is?
I know this,
what
Mike. You're a QT.
Thank you.
Quick time?
QT. What it,
quiet time?
Quick time.
Quality. Traveling. At QT, we aim to welcome everyone and to celebrate the uniqueness of each individual. QT has been recognized for this for many years.
QT.
That's however, on Saturday night, our third-party security...
third-party.
PR department.
Yeah.
Our third-party. We didn't hire them. The person we hired to hire them didn't hire them. The person that... Anyway. They did not exercise. I'll do it with an Australian accent.
Good.
However, Saturday night, our third-party security didn't exercise the appropriate discretion, and we take full responsibility for this. Once a jolly swag man can't buy a billy bong down in the shade of a coolie bar tree. Anyway, we sincerely apologize to the individuals affected.
I've never done a great Australian accent.
No, I disagree. You were great as the crocodile hunter.
Thank you very much. Well, he's dead. Anyway.
Great. There's that again.
We got some numbers for Valentine's Day. It is VD, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Valentine's Day. We didn't even say that yet on the show. Let me see. 25.9.
Happy Valentine's Day.
$25.9 billion. That is the total amount Americans are expected to spend on Valentine's Day this year. $25.9 billion with a B. That would make it one of the highest spending years on record. According to the annual survey released on January 25th by the NRF. I don't know what that is.
It stands for QT.
QT. 23.9 billion, the total amount last year that people spent. So they're going to up it by two.
I bet the R stands for retailers. Billion. National Retail Foundation?
Hey, very good.
Thank you.
145 million is the approximate number of Valentine's cards exchanged. Michael's sending out. We went to the Mart of Wall next to our home.
Yes.
And he got dollar little hearts with the Russell Stover candy in them.
Yeah.
And then a book of Valentine's for people. 145 million cards. 1916 is the year that Hallmark's Valentine's Day greetings cards first appeared on store shelves. So it's not that old. The company's founder, J.C. Hall, began selling Valentine's Day postcards earlier in 1910, according to Hallmark's corporate website. So it's a completely
made up
and utterly manufactured holiday. And number one, the holiday ranking of Valentine's Day for consumer spending on fresh flowers and plants. That's according to the Society of American Florists. Christmas and Hanukkah are a close second, the organization reports. And a bellwether for the success financially of the Mike O'Mara Show is whether we get Pro Flowers or Vermont Teddy Bear. And this is another year.
Yeah, buying a plant for Valentine's Day? Who's buying a plant for Hanukkah? Yeah.
Listen to any podcast. No.
How you know the economy's got to come back. Come on.
The last thing that Vermont Teddy Bear did, they remember they did like a dirty dominatrix leather bear, and then they were out.
Done. And now a little something. Just before midnight on February 8th, right here in my county, General Robert E. Lee County. I think it is Robert E. Lee. I don't think there's another Lee that they named the county.
Jennifer
after.
Jason.
Bruce. Who knows? Lee County Sheriff's deputies discovered a black Mercedes-Benz parked in the opposite lane. Yes, that's right. A lane that is designed for traffic flow.
It was stopped
there with the lights on.
The vehicle was
just sitting there. They thought it might be abandoned. That's when they saw 40-year-old Michael Cereda sitting alone in the passenger seat. The car was littered with empty beer cans.
Oh, dear.
Right down the road near Cape Corral, as Jimmy would say.
Hey.
Cereda was unable to speak. due to his level of intoxication, and the deputies called for backup. Then came the unmistakable sound. That's right. A pop top.
Oh, no.
In plain view of deputies, Cereda reached into the pile of dead soldiers and pulled out a live one.
Found one more. Attaboy.
Deputies decided Cereda had already reached his limit and attempted to take the beer from him. Big mistake. That's when he turned violent.
Yes.
Oh.
At one point, deputies used their taser to subdue him, but it had zero effect. Deputies resorted to physically restraining Cereda until their support came. With the situation under control, he was taken to Lee County Hospital. I had my hips replaced in that hospital.
How nice.
Have so much in common.
Yeah, relatable.
He got a few scratches and scrapes during the fracas. He was then taken into custody and brought to a wonderful place, the Lee County Jail. He faces charges of DUI and resisting an officer. And it's always a bad idea to drink and drive, but even worse when you're walking to your car by yourself and you say, "I call shotgun." Anyway, that's always a little bit tricky.
He was committed to the bit.
I do too. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back, everybody. I picked myself up a little soy milk latte and my wife a cafe grande.
Yeah.
Starbucks. I hear through the speaker that it's the sing-songy guy.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. My name's Trent. Welcome to Starbucks. What can I do you for, big guy?
Well, I think I'll have a venti soy milk latte.
Awesome. Can I get you a cake pop?
Would you like a cake pop?
Or how about I tell you about my favorite podcast?
Tell your friends, wake the kids, and phone the neighbors. Let them all know about your favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show. It's TMOS's new listener initiative for 2023. Join the party. The more, the merrier.
Let your Trent flag fly, and that's fine.
I sound like Animal. That's my new impression, Animal from Sesame.
Oh, Muffin Show, not Sesame Street.
Okay, same thing, right?
No, very different. Excuse more grown up, the Muppet Show.
This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life. It's 2023. Are you still using the same belt from 2003? Now is the time to update your belt game. The Groove Belt has proprietary webbing engineered with just the right amount of stretch. Rob Spiewak is modeling it right now. And Groove Life designed the world's baddest buckle. Now, did you hear that? Let's turn everything down.
Stop the music.
So Rob can... here's the sound of connecting your Groove Life belt.
Nice.
That's it. That's what it sounds like. It's perfect.
It's so cool.
It snaps using rare earth neodymium.
And
neodymium magnets are set in an aluminum alloy, and with Groove Life's 94-year no BS warranty, the Groove Belt is the last belt you'll ever need. And it ain't just belts. They've got wallets, rings, watch bands.
I'll show you the wallet, too. I got it here. Are we all
using them?
Yes, I love it.
There we go.
I love it.
There it is. There's my money clip with $5 in it.
Look at that, Mike.
That's
it. You're a rich man.
Very, very
exciting.
You're naked
without cash.
Naked without cash. It's wonderful.
Cash.
Belts, wallets, rings, watch bands, AirPod cases, much more. It's time to bring your belt into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code TMOS for 20% off your order. One last time, that's promo code TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button on our website. So
hold it real quick. When Oscar said you were naked without cash, I hate to keep bringing it back to Mark, but do you know the true story of why that's a famous line?
No, I have no idea.
Mike with a Sharpie wrote that on the wall outside of Graceland. Because most people write "Love you, Elvis."
Yes.
EAP, RIP. Mike wrote,
"Elvis cured my press, my hemorrhoids."
Mike wrote, "I'm naked without cash." Mike O'Mara, 1995.
Still there, right?
I'm sure it is.
Wow. That's amazing. Welcome back to the show, everybody. So in a way, a blessing for us because we got the horrible news Sunday about Mark. So the Super Bowl was a great diversion and a great escape. And I was real happy when I saw Rob posting on Sunday night. I said, okay, if Rob's posting, I'll post too. Because Rob and I can't keep our pants on without sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he does the same thing.
Carrie said we need to watch it. I was in no mood, and you know, you get sucked in because it's a big deal. It is.
So I got two things. Then we'll talk to Oscar about the halftime show, which he liked. When did the Super Bowl advertise? When did they? Because I know I talked about this last year, maybe the year before. When did they completely start shirking? Because it was not too long ago a comedy competition.
Yeah,
who could have the cleverest, funniest, and they've punted that. They pony up their $10 million for their 60 seconds, and they just say, F it, we'll just put whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves us with very few. I miss that so badly because it used to be super fun. You now turn it on and you don't know what it's going to be. By the way, the top of my hit parade was the premature electrification.
That was good. It was a good spot, but buried late in the game.
But when I saw it, I unhinged my jaw. I laughed at that one out loud. And I will tell you something. It taps into the reason it's great. Not only is it funny, trying to, make it a sexual condition, but it also taps into people like me who say, are we ready to go? Are you really ready to go full electric? Because a lot of people feel that way in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good one. But why not more funny? And by the way, I don't want to offend people, but the Caddyshack, it was no.
Who liked that?
But some people are like, it's Caddyshack. Because it's pop culture.
It's horrible.
And some people just like pop culture for pop culture's sake.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It did not work.
Puppies test well. I don't think motion picture ads should be allowed on the Super Bowl.
What?
Because
you didn't like the Flash commercial,
the trailer. But I mean, you know what? If you want to see the trailer, you can see it online.
It was gorgeous.
Well, sure, but you know
it's
what?
A trailer.
It's everyone knows about that movie anyway.
Michael Keaton as Batman. You knew that was going to happen?
I don't care.
Reprising that role?
I want a funny commercial.
Transformers?
I want my my commercials to be
very
funny.
Excited.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I just want more. I want more volume, volume, volume. And I think it is
no
the
talking
obligation.
Babies. None of that. Don't want that.
The Disney commercial was beautiful.
Beautiful, but not funny.
Yeah.
But here's what I want.
We had more crypto last year. Crypto was the worst last year. All the crypto commercials.
But if you're spending that much money on the ad, spend some money for the production. Spend a fraction of that on the production.
Did you smirk at Jeffrey Ross roasting Mr. Peanut?
I didn't see that one. I actually kind of like that.
Really
funny. Getting back to the Super Bowl. Boy, as much as I am not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, when a striped shirt, you know, directly impacts the game, I feel for it. That's the understanding side of me. The bitter, jealous side of me says, hey, way to go, former Giants DB that trashed the Giants. Bradbury. Anyway,
you're a complicated man.
Well, when it comes to sports, and I think Patrick Mahomes, I said to somebody, Philadelphia will win this game going away unless Patrick Mahomes rises from the ashes of his injury and has the game. And he did. He had that game.
Well, I think it's exactly what Nicky Diamond said, is Philadelphia is going to win.
Yeah.
we briefly, just for full context, we found out the news about Mark right before the game started.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like 10 minutes before the game started.
Moments. Yep. Yeah.
And like I was shook. But I didn't want to like lay that on my wife or my parents. It was sad. And I spun out. I was like, I need to do something to completely take my mind off of this. I started installing curtains for my parents in their living room. Like I just started working, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so as I'm taking that out, I'm like, I need something else other than this project to do. So I don't have to talk to anybody.
Were they Bolivian curtains?
Bolivian curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Tough. You always need an Allen wrench to put them in.
Had to sneak them in curtains. Over the border.
Beautiful.
Yeah, imported. Tariffs are terrible. The
curtain tariffs. I threw
a $500 bet. And I don't gamble like this.
Okay, to distract yourself.
I bet with my head, not my heart.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was the Chiefs, and you heard me banging the drum for the Chiefs the entire time. And I heard
bet Philly.
I heard Jimmy Johnson near the tail end saying, rah, 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 I want to Eagles. I said, all right, Jimmy, let's do this, Super Bowl champion. Eagles.
Are you Rube?
Rube.
So they ate your 500.
Ate my 500.
You did not win Terry's money.
No.
Nobody.
By the way, Bolivian curtains have a special electronic sensor in them so that when you open them, not close them, when you open them, this plays.
That's what happened when I opened my DraftKings account as well.
Did you know that Bolivian curtains is actually a category on YouPorn?
Okay. All right. Enough of that.
That is
Jesus so Christ. The game was phenomenal.
Yeah,
the game was phenomenal. Football game.
How long since there's been a game that was that tight at the end?
I'm not sure, but
it's been a while
because I forget the Super Bowl faster than any.
I do too.
Any contest. I can't tell you what years the Giants won. Yeah. I can tell you every detail of the Red Sox in 2004. I can't do it with football.
To be fair, by the end of the Super Bowl in years past, I'm really not paying attention.
You and I both, dry Super Bowl. Were you dry for the Super Bowl?
I was dry, but I was next to my dad who just keeps on yelling people's players' names because he doesn't really know the team, and I love him, so I don't make fun of him.
Hurts!
He goes, el Hurts, va ganar el juego, because he knew that I was rooting for the Eagles, and he didn't know that I had all this money on the game, so he's like, está bien, el Hurts, va a ser lo que necesita que hacer. The Hurts is going to do what he needs to do. I was like, you don't even know what he needs to do. You don't even know what he needs to do. And then it's not your game.
Yeah, Papa.
And then he goes, okay, the ball is going to hit the steel, and then it will bounce down, and they will catch the ball and run it back for a touchdown, and you will win. I said,
not how it works.
This is not Looney Tunes, Dad. Not Looney Tunes.
Daffy is not going to take the ball and run back.
And by the
rough
way,
day for that kicker.
Another announcement to TMOS Nation. I know I'm not a sports guy, but when a ball bounces off the upright during the largest broadcast of the year, trust me, I saw it. You don't need to blow up my phone. Okay? Mm-hmm. I got it. All right, I dig it.
He loves it. Don't let him think he loves the fact
loves attention.
That he has now been able to brand a mistake by a kicker. He loves it. Send it, text him, email him, PM him twice next time it happens.
Send me a letter. Send me a postage paid letter.
A formal letter. And then, all right, and then we are on to the only thing that Rob and I really, stop the music. We were commenting on the halftime show. Now, I'm on the heels of last year was Shakira and J-Lo, am I right?
No, that was 2 years, 3 years ago.
What?
Shakira and J-Lo was before, was pre-pandemic.
Were you in the hospital then?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, who was last year?
Last year was a salute to hip-hop.
Was the week? Eminem. Was it the weekend last year?
It was Eminem.
And the weekend was
before
that.
Dr.
And the weekend was before that, and then it was
It was right before pandemic. So it was that was 2020.
I thought Rihanna was a uninspiring performer during the
and then before Shakira was Paul Anka, and then
what didn't you like about the show?
I thought okay. You're coming down from the sky on the platforms. That's good once.
That was fun.
They go up and they go down and they go up. And I didn't like the tiny spacesuits. I wasn't a fan of that. I thought that the choreography was uninspiring. And I thought that the miking of her, even though it's a lip sync performance, was horrible. The audio was horrible. I thought that the idea of not bringing any artists out, which seems to be the norm at a Super Bowl, and not doing that. And I thought she seemed, ginged up when she was doing it. She didn't seem motivated.
A friend of mine said that any credit for that halftime show goes to set design and the people that
built
the platforms.
Yeah, but even that was dull. They went to,
you
come down on a platform, you go up on a platform.
To me, she seemed disinterested.
Yeah.
And it was...
But that's part of her charisma.
Is
it? That's part that she's known to be that type of sultry, low-key performer. And
I look for in my live performances. Low key.
It's not for you. It's not for you. You're not the audience.
Who's it for?
It's for the.
For you?
The sub 40s. It's for me because Rihanna's discography is just impressive. I have to give her credit for. Most performers wouldn't even get up on a platform like that is moving at that level. They would say no.
Especially when you're newly pregnant
You're pregnant. Why do you say it like it's a bad thing? Children are good.
I didn't say it's a bad thing. I said she's pregnant again.
The performance was unique. It was the first year that Apple was actually sponsoring the halftime show. Someone on CNBC made the highlight that it looked like they were dancing on iPhones, which was genius in my eyes. Financially and
it's
from
genius,
entertainment value. By the way,
who was genius? What did you call genius?
No, he said someone said it looked like the platforms were iPhones.
It did. If you look back at it. She was dancing on iPhones. From a marketing standpoint, I thought that was genius. Rihanna's a big winner here because the number of units that were downloaded on stream skyrocketed her to a level that we haven't seen after a Super Bowl before. Also, she had a cameo by her makeup line when she actually put the powder
You're
on.
You're talking about all this business.
Yeah.
What about performing? What about just putting
For
on a good show?
For someone that's pregnant... To perform at that level
and
was inspiring and impressive.
That was selfish, though, when she said there's going to be a special guest for the halftime show.
What's selfish?
And she said, because she's pregnant.
It's her baby.
It is her baby. What's, you know what?
What did she take from you? What made it selfish for
She took 13 minutes from me.
I really enjoyed it. And I'm not part of the Rihanna Navy.
I just kept waiting for it to start.
I don't want to be. I think
Mike, are you with me? As you're watching, you think, okay, something's going
to
happen.
I'm trying to find reviews, and it's hard to find reviews. For some reason, Rihanna.
Maybe you're finding good reviews, and you don't want to talk about those.
Rihanna's getting treated very. What's that?
No, maybe you're just finding good reviews.
They're
it's not for you.
Stop saying that. All right, because I read all the people say when are the old farts going to start hating on Rihanna?
If it's for people that
I get
sub 40,
it's not for me because I'm too old. You ageist.
Now, Mike, if it is not for us, he said it's for people who are sub 40. We have two sub 40-year-olds in the producer's room right now.
Yes.
Okay. We have Pony and we have Marco. I'd like to know their take on it.
Marco is very young.
Yes. He's 10 years old.
Yeah, he goes back to homeroom after this.
Well, Pony is looking after him. Yeah. So, Pony, first of all, you didn't watch it, right?
No, I saw Talking Baby, and I said, I'm out of here.
No, stop. You didn't want
to, because give the mic to Mario. Dragons. This is
live
so
life.
Sad.
Yeah. Look at a white wall.
Nah. Give the microphone.
The cloak of yardage.
To Marco. The cloak of yardage.
Hi, Marco. We got to work on you getting that mic on. It sounds like you're putting on a bodysuit.
Well, he had to fight it. He had to fight Matt for it.
Yeah, we had a little wrestling match back here for the mic.
So did you look at the Super Bowl?
Did I look at this? Yes, I did.
That was good. Did you look at the halftime program?
I took a glance at it.
Yes. Yeah. And what was your take on Rihanna?
I mean, I was kind of half paying attention to the halftime show, but the overall kind of reviews from my generation, like people were saying, oh my God, this is the best Super Bowl halftime show ever.
Thank you. The way it was shot. Yeah. Oh man, it's just beautiful.
Were a lot of the people that were saying that, were they?
A lot of people are saying effortless magnetism.
That's what she's known for.
The amount of times on Sunday I heard the term effortless magnetism.
Yeah, you know what? So is a refrigerator.
Because you can put a magnet.
Waka. Yeah, exactly.
Waka.
Oh,
Waka.
Shut up, Oscar. Your friends that love this Super Bowl show, were they high on weed?
No.
Okay, were they drinking a Borg?
Yes, they were all Borged up.
Okay, so Mike, if you're Borged up, maybe you need to be drunk.
What does Borged up mean?
Oh, we talked about this on your day that you were out. It's a gallon container that's full of vodka and...
Blackout rage gallon.
It's a blackout rage gallon. It's full of vodka and water and liquid IV and flavors. And you name it. And you carry around a gallon and drink it all day.
Hold on, you didn't describe that, right? You mean liquid IV, which you mix with water, vodka and water, and it's like a flavored drink? Is that what it is?
In college.
Yes.
All the rage.
The worst description.
All the rage.
Mike, it was the best description.
Are these kids walking around with a gallon of water to stay hydrated, and then they put...
I get it, and it's got vodka in it.
Well, vodka, liquid IV, and sometimes a Celsius or... Some sort of
flavorant, yes,
like what we used to do with grain alcohol punch.
Precisely. Yeah, but you never walked around getting hydrated with a gallon of water,
and you never,
I would have though if that concept had been around. I would have gone to my 6:30 on Monday night, just
And the big thing is that they named the Borgs.
Yeah. So the kids liked it.
Yeah, they liked her. They liked
it. By the way, I'm reading a lot of people were delighted with Rihanna's DGAF performance. That's her style.
That is her style.
Isn't that great? That's wonderful. That's what, you know what? I hope that for the future, all performers are like that. Although I have to say that I was listening, in the school of DGAF, Ron Bennington in our business would be somebody who has that energy.
Yes.
And his take on soft rock today made me laugh out loud. By the way, I don't know whether it was a live show or a repeat. You never know when you're listening to that platform. But he was talking about America and had me laughing out loud about, Ventura Highway. That's Ventura Highway. but it was just, he was funny. Hey, he's a funny man.
The horse didn't have a name.
Yeah. Been to the desert on a horse with no name. Who cares where that horse comes from? Don't understand where that horse comes from. Ron Bennington, you are a funny man, and you still make me laugh.
Performance-wise, my all-time favorite still to this day has been Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga was
she good. Was great.
That was a great performance.
I like Prince.
Yeah.
Prince was spectacular. Yeah. So anyway, that's it. So Super Bowl, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs.
No love for Elvis Presto.
Who's that?
That was the Elvis impersonator that did magic. It was one of the worst halftime shows.
When did
ever.
That? I
that
didn't
was,
see that.
That was probably 20 years ago.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. It might have been in 3D as well.
Good memory on that one.
I agree with the audio. The audio for Babyface at the beginning was terrible. Mm. And all the music audio, I remember just jacking the volume.
Horrible. They can't figure it out. All that effing money and they can't figure it out, And next year, I believe CBS has it. So it'll be nice to have Nancy.
CBS.
Doing that. He's a guy that belongs there, not that other guy.
And
by the way, I give credit to the tight end who was doing the color commentary. What's his name? I'm sorry. I'm blocking on it
Fox?
Right now. The Fox broadcast. Mm-hmm. Kent Burkhart was the play-by-play guy. And Oh, now I turn that. I hate it when you play that sometimes.
Well, you signal.
Just turn
it
off if I'm still talking, for God's sake. I'm trying to think of who the guy is because I'm not going to be
fussy. Olsen.
Kevin Burkhart.
Was it Kevin Burkhart? And Greg Olsen.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greg Olsen nailed it with having the runner go down for Kansas City. I give him credit for that. But Kevin Burkhart, just so annoying to listen to. And a lot of people agree with me. Now you can play that thing. No, you don't. We'll go to commercial. Just turn it off. Just play the promo, please.
Okay. Promo in 3, 2.
Live from Fort Myers, it's the West South Florida Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hello, fans. I'm Twitch, along with Jim Amato, and we're calling the action live.
We're down to the final four dogs, and we still have some surprising contenders.
With the final four, an Irish setter, a Bolivian hairless, a huge Spiewak Mastiff, and a Mexican long-haired Chihuahua.
Can you believe they eat these dogs in some countries?
That's right, Jim. By the way, the Spiewak Mastiff is the largest dog we've ever had in competition.
That's dog. With 2 G's.
It sure is, Jim.
It looks like the handler is having some trouble with the Chihuahua.
Shut up, Frankie!
Oh, that's no. Too bad. That'll knock him out of the competition. The judge is taking one last look, and there it is. The winner is the Mike O'Mara Bonus Best in Show.
Get a subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Until next year, this is Jim Amato and Twitch saying,
Who's a good boy?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Think of the time and money your family invested to film all that great stuff. Family vacations, birthdays, weddings, all the good stuff. By the way, recording those was a commitment. You had to think about it. Camcorders.
Yes.
Lots of money for those.
Batteries.
Tapes were expensive.
Yeah.
Batteries. You had to get film. You had to get the film developed. Legacy Box exists to preserve your family's recorded moments digitally, ensuring they're safe forever. I remember buying a top-of-the-line video camera back in the day, but now it's obsolete. Couldn't even tell you where it is. I sold it. I wasn't sure if I could ever watch those tapes again, but thanks to Legacy Box, I can. I can watch my little girls when they were actually little. It's like magic. We've all used Legacy Box. We all love it. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files, keeping them safe forever. You owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Don't let your photos continue to fade. Become your family's hero and save them before it's too late. Buy a Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS to take advantage of this exclusive offer. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. All right, so we've got a very brief amount of time. We're running late, right? Super late. I got to tell you that today, no card, no flowers, no nothing. For Valentine's Day, I will be cooking. I will be in the kitchen, and I will be playing Ina Garten and making the boeuf bourguignon, which I will eat very little of because I'm still trying to lose weight.
So it's Ina Garten's actual recipe, isn't it, that you use?
Yes, and the key that we have not been successful at finding are the little bitty pearl onions.
You haven't found them? You can get them frozen.
Frozen, but we can't even find them.
Bird's eye, really?
Yeah, trying to find the bird's eye.
What if you don't have onions? Is it still gonna be okay?
Valentine's Day will be ruined
for everybody.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not really familiar with this dish, but I also don't. I understand that one missing ingredient could ruin it.
It's really like a beef stew, is what it is. It's
a red wine base on the sauce, right?
What?
The sauce is red wine based, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Cote de Lion. That's what. How good is that? How good is that? That's my gift to my wife for Valentine's Day. Me? Haven't gotten one yet. Nothing this morning. I'm not sure whether I'll get anything. You and Carrie still don't exchange?
We don't do it. No. Mm-mm.
All right. Will you do anything for your beloved, your betrothed?
Yes. We're going to have... Well, first, let me say that Christmas was special for my wife. And when I presented her with a present, I said... This is Christmas. This is Valentine's Day. This is your birthday in February.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So that's a big deal.
Ahead of time.
What was it?
It was a purse.
A swatch.
Yeah. That you could wear. So this morning I said to her, here's a smooch.
In a box.
Let's not forget the Christmas present.
And is that what you said?
Yeah, because what I don't want is...
You're a romantic.
Yes.
You are a romantic.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you have to reset the... Mike, we've all played this game where you're like, this is a dual gift, and then people are waiting for a gift because they forgot you gave them a dual gift.
Is she wearing anything for Valentine's Day today? Is she wearing red?
Oh, Mike. Yeah, black.
Don't get...
What?
Just black like her heart.
Just don't be...
All black.
Don't be creepy. What do you mean? I'm just asking if she's... What are you talking about?
Is she wearing a red thong?
Well, no, I think you doth protest too much, Mr. Man.
She's not wearing a red thong.
Okay, sorry, just checking. Because when you start talking, you went right to what she's wearing.
I was curious
whether she was wearing a Valentine's Day outfit.
Do you know how I know it's not going to be that type of lucky Tuesday?
Why?
Because I saw her get dressed this morning.
Oh, you
did? Yeah.
Nothing special for the day.
All granny panties came out. Like, nothing's
granny panties. Granny panties. Stop. She's never worn granny panties.
I saw those fullbacks. I was like, oh, not getting lucky today.
Fullbacks.
No one's in the mood.
Oh, my God. Oh,
if I saw that G string come out, it'd be a different story. But that did not happen. She went right by that and she pulled out what was like the Chinese balloon. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, put that on.
They're excellent, Mike. They're built by Siragusa. They're the Siragusa brand underwear. Yeah.
Fullback.
Yeah, fullback.
That's
fullback
funny.
Means fullbacks. Nothing's happening.
No cheek, bad week.
When you say it's gross, but it is true. You're right.
No, Tony, you know what? You don't always need to turn your mic on.
I do have to.
Can't help himself. That's the way goes.
You think I'm kidding. That's the code. If I see anything like that's like enticing going on, I'm like, oh, you know, I might have to do some clapping push-ups tonight. But if that doesn't happen, if it looks like, you know, we're essentially laying out a quilt, then and that's going on her body.
So there's
nothing's happening.
Celebration of the day.
No. Oh, and there won't be a celebration of the night.
No, will you watch The Bachelor instead?
I saw that last night. She got bitter because they're in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Lots of bikinis.
I just can't.
She was jelly.
You know what? Even the hot women, I hate the content so much that I can't watch it.
I'm slightly aroused by the tears.
Even the tears.
Broken.
Yeah. It's totally broken. It is. It is indeed. And in the Spiewak household, nothing particularly special. I know you're going through all your stuff right now.
No. I can't think. I think we do have some leftover spaghetti, so that'll be good.
That's exciting. Now we have to take another break. That's wonderful. I hope you have a good time. We're going to come back.
Mike, and you too.
Yeah, an abbreviated audio vault, otherwise known as Town of Sound, when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. And to each and every one of you, happy VD, everybody. Valentine's Day. I hope it's very, very special. Eat the chocolates, smell the flowers. S&B. Thank you.
Michael O'Mara, New Orleans, Sharon, Bailey, and Jolene, Jim, Amato, Dennis, Murphy, Polly, Christine, Oscar, Shannon, Pony, Carrie, Dan, O'Brien, shirts are scary, get your tickets while you can, say hello to Tony Land, Gusarito, Skinny Rob, Chris Fontani, Condo Bob, Carla, Twitch, and Dirk, and Reese, and a thousand staff buddies.
Come out and see the whole gang at the TMOS Live Show, April 15th, 2023, at the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana. For tickets, go to MikeOMaraShow.com. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Looking to get your financial future organized? If you don't have life insurance yet, that should be at the top of your list. Fabric by Gerber Life is what you need. With life insurance and other family finance solutions all in one place, Fabric has great policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply and then tailor your quote to fit your family's needs. Fabric was specifically designed to give parents like you affordable term life insurance. Plus, Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS. M-E-E-T fabric.com/TMOS. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Hit the music, please. Oh, you got to go back to the original thing?
Yeah, you got to do
it. Sorry, forgot about that. Thank you. Sound. OCD. Jesus.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Joplin, Missouri, Mike. There is
a beautiful place to be.
Yes. And there is, do you still have your A-frame there?
You just stopped there, and I was like, oh, I felt like I needed to fill that hole. Spectacular town.
My kind of town.
Town. Joplin, Missouri is.
There is a video gaming store, and it's one of those with a big glass front window and shelves that are parallel to the front window, which is probably very easy for shopping, but not good when a minivan backs into your store at full speed.
Oh, my God.
And it sounds a little something like this.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. But
do you? All right. If you were to drop a percentage, and I'm sure the insurance companies have tables where maybe this is calculated, the percentage of mistakes by minivan drivers.
High. Very high.
High.
Very high. 100%. I think it has a lot to do with visibility too. I think they're poorly designed for visibility.
Well, they all have cameras now.
I was simply thinking about the drivers.
Could be. I was trying to
get the passengers alone. Having kids in the car, not having kids, but when I have the kids, my sister's kids and my brother's kid, I am distracted by them.
Yeah, but you got to remember, people that drive minivans are probably distracted by other things more than the kids. They're probably like making smoothies while they're in there.
Yeah, and they've got to get to the rally.
Right.
So they don't want to be late.
The rally for what?
What kind of what rally?
The MAGA rally.
Oh, stop it.
No. That's not political. No. You got the wrong vehicle. Yeah. You know, the vehicle would be a pick-em-up.
Could be, you know.
Yeah, more of the Let's Go Brandons on the pickups down there. Yeah, an F-150.
Okay, while we're talking cars, you would think there are certain cars that are so iconic they'd be immune from robbers. In Las Vegas, one of the 16 Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles had its catalytic converter stolen.
Oh, my God.
Which means someone had to crawl under the wiener, Oscar. Yeah. They had to crawl under the wiener and use a saw to cut it out. Now, here's the good news. They don't carry Wienermobile parts in stock in Las Vegas, but they were able to cobble it together. It made its two appearances.
Yeah.
However, no wiener is safe.
There's,
Mike,
like gaskets there that you need to reseal the converter. And then there's sensors all along that area to regulate the heat and temperature of the system. They tear that apart to get to what they want. They did like a little minor repair. It's basically to have the vehicle running. It's not the correct part. It's just something temporarily. It's costing
the person
money and then the company and then just time.
No, that's the repairman that had to cobble together a catalytic converter for the wiener.
I was just hoping that wasn't the Oscar Mayer spokesperson.
Mike, that was Oscar. Okay. That was Oscar Mayer.
any of you been in the vehicle?
No, I never have.
Yeah, I've never
I sat in it with Donny Osmond.
That's it. And what did he yell?
I'm Donny Osmond. I said, Don might have suggested this. Stick your head out the top and say, I'm Donny Osmond. Don't you wish you were me?
A classic line.
So very
classic
good.
Classic line.
And Mike, since 'tis Valentine's Day. Oh, and by the way, I got a text during the show from Mark's daughters. They are still finalizing arrangements for anyone who is interested. They will post information on his Facebook page, and we will be sure to pass it along.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for passing that along. I know a lot of people
condolences are already starting to roll in, and they said it helps how he was loved. That really, so.
Oh, I'm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with me. Sammy. Rachel, we love you, and hang in there, kiddos, really.
So stay tuned for details. And let's close with this. It is Valentine's Day, Mike, and I like to close with one of the most romantic people I know, Lewis Black.
As I've grown older, each year I've dropped holidays from my calendar that I don't think apply anymore. And this year I'm proud to say that I dropped Valentine's Day. Yeah. Now, let's get it clear things up. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a holiday of love. Just not in February. It doesn't belong there. It does not belong there. And if you ladies want this holiday because it's your holiday, we're not going to even argue about that, are we? Because if you don't realize that men don't give a about it. And they don't. And if your husband is telling you that he does, then you have tortured him like some kind of prisoner of war.
That's all I got, Mike.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us today, and really to the family of our friend and associate Mark Riddell, our deepest condolences. And as Rob mentioned, information will be on his Facebook page.
And we'll share it as well.
All right.
And also
we'll
on
post
our,
a tribute from Jim Amato.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that lovely thing that Jim put together. You'll love it.
You got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody, and happy Valentine's Day.
Love you, Mark.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.